Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. There's no other way to describe him. He's just awesome. Amen, amen. He never disappoints. He always exceeds our expectations. Amen. I stand in awe. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Exodus chapter 25, and we'll read the first 9 verses. Exodus 25, starting at the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. And this is the offering which he shall take of them. Gold and silver and brass. He's not looking for pennies, not looking for $1 bills. He's looking for the best. And blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and sheetum wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and sweet incense. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together once again this morning, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. It's with praise on our lips. And we do stand, Lord, in awe of you this morning as we look upon your great creation and the marvelous things, Lord. We look out into the heavens and man still hasn't even come close to comprehending the awesomeness of your great creation. And man is still ever learning and trying to discover the laws that govern those heavenly bodies. And then, Lord, we turn right around and we take a smaller scope and look at the smallest of the smallest. And we find, Lord, that it's just as awesome and just as amazing as looking out into the universe. It's just as intricate and detailed and harmonious. And what an awesome God you are. And yet, Lord, you've found a way to make yourself small enough that you can express yourself to us, that we can come to know you at some level as human beings, Lord. And we so appreciate that this morning. And we know it's just another example of your great love that's expressed to us, that, Lord, that you would stoop so far down to relate and make yourself known to us as if you were a man. And Father, we can relate to something like that. And so you relate yourself to us in ways that we can get a hold of. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we pray that you take the portion of the word that's been set aside for us this morning. And, Lord, that you would break it down for us. And you just make it live amongst us, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us as only you can. We love you and we thank you. And we just ask for your blessings to be upon each and every one. Forgive us, Lord, of our failures. Father, we desire in our hearts to serve you better, Lord, to be more pleasing to you, to give our all to you. Bless each and every one, we pray. We love you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. What a time this must have been for Moses and for the ministry at that time, and also for the people of the children of Israel. God directs Moses to speak to the ministry and to speak to the people, and there's an immediate response to the word that goes forth. And friends, we could tell you this morning that there's not much that's more satisfying to a pastor, to a minister, than to bring the word of God to the people and for there to be a response to the word, an immediate response, not a something that's delayed. And we know that God has seasons to things, and we know that there will be delays, but to see an immediate response, it's really satisfying. After all, that's the whole purpose of speaking and hearing the word, isn't it? It's, you know, God sends us his word, and he sends it to us for a purpose, and he declares that his word will not return unto him void. In other words, it will not return empty. It will not just go out and bounce back, you know. We say to our children sometimes, I feel like I'm speaking to the wall, or maybe to one of our loved ones, you know, do you hear me? Are you listening? God sends his word out, and he sends it out for a purpose, and he assures us that it will not return without fulfilling the purpose for which it was spoken. And the response of the people to what's recorded that Moses said in Exodus chapter 25, we find it in Exodus chapter 35, and starting at the 20th verse. And all the children of, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Isn't that something? There's no debating over what they just heard. There's no raising of hands. You know, I'm not quite clear on this. There's no questioning of why would God ask them to do these things. There's no delay in doing what God asked them to do. That's really amazing, isn't it? They go straight home after the service, and they put into action the word of the Lord that they just heard. They immediately act upon it. And as we saw last time, last Sunday night, God did not desire an offering from them that was forced from them or was given as a result of any kind of pressure, whether it be external pressure or internal pressure. God wanted this offering to be given based upon the free will of the people. He wanted it to come from a willing heart. Let everyone that has a willing heart make me an offering. So even just the stating of that shows that there will be some that don't have a willing heart. But there will also be some that do. Those that desire to do this, God says, let them give. I want it to be a free will offering. So God is the one that's actually given the things to the people that he's now asking for them to give to him to build a tabernacle. And of course, they're the ones that are to build this tabernacle as well. And as we know, the children of Israel, they were former slaves, and you know, each one, I'm sure, had different amounts of whatever it was that they had. But one thing's for sure, they had very little of the things of the world prior to their departure from Egypt. And so God moved upon the hearts of the Egyptians to, notice this, for the Egyptians to willingly give to Israel the things that they were instructed to ask from them. So every step of the way, sinner or saint, the offering is willing. I suppose somebody could look at this as back pay for Israel for their slave labor as they unwillingly gave their labor to Pharaoh over the years. That'd be one way to look at it. But what so moves my heart is to realize that God wanted each and every one of them to have a part in making him a tabernacle so that he could dwell among them. There's no spectators in this. Each and every one has a part to play. And he wanted them to give from their heart a people that previously had absolutely nothing to give, especially the very things that he's asking for. They didn't have these things. So he provided them with the very things that he would then later ask of them to build his tabernacle. And as we looked at last time, what a loving father that we serve this morning. What do you give the God of the universe that has everything? What do you give somebody that's so magnificent, that's so great, that's so awesome? What could we possibly give to him that he doesn't already have? What do we have of value that would be fitting for the palace for a king? How could somebody like me give something of great value to the great Creator. Something that he truly desires. Or how about this? Something that he wants and can get no other way. The one that created everything, the one that could have anything. He set it up in such a way that only you can give him what it is that he's looking for. That's a loving God. That's a God that's saying, look, I don't want this to be a one-sided relationship. I gave you my all. I gave you my very best, God says. And I desire something in return. You say, but I don't have anything to give. I'll make sure that you have it. But I'm not demanding that you give it to me. I want it to come from a willing heart. So we read in John 3:16, that's probably one of the first scriptures that we hear as when we're giving our hearts to the Lord, when we're hearing the gospel, we're being drawn to the Lord. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave everything that he had. He gave his very best. And in response to what he gave to mankind, he lets us know that he desires something in return, but he's not demanding it. And he's not going to demand it. Something that is so precious to him that it fulfills a great desire that he himself has within himself. And his desire is to receive it in the very same manner that he gave. He gave freely. He gave willingly. He gave from his heart. He gave without reservation. Out of the free will desire of the heart. That's how God gives, and that's how God wants to receive. So he says, Moses, tell them that everybody that wants to do it, ask him to do it. Isn't that something? Don't go beat on them. Don't go shame them. But those that want to do it, ask him to do it. Tell them, you know, if you don't want to give me your all from the heart, that's okay. Now, friends, we're not mocking this morning. This is the truth. I'll take whatever you're willing to give me, but I want it to be willing. This isn't going to be a long and drawn out passing of the plate with lots of pressure being applied. It's not going to be a public show or some sort of a telecon that runs 24 hours and where they pull and they beg and they entertain and they flatter and they keep at it until a certain number is reached. No, God knows just how much is needed. And he has confidence that the need will be entirely met from free will offerings from the people alone. Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? There will be no soup suppers to pay for this tabernacle. There will be no car washes. There'll be no bingo parties. There'll be no ticket sales to a lottery to build this house. God says, if you don't want to give me your all, that's fine. Keep it. If you want to give it to the world, if you want to give it to the devil instead, well, that's just fine. Keep it then. If you only want to give God a little time each month, that's all right. He'll take it. If you only want to give him what's left over after you've given the rest of your time to the world, that's okay. If you just want to come to church on Christmas and perhaps Easter and maybe Mother's Day, that's okay. If you only have a small place in the basement of your heart for me to dwell in, he says, I'll take it. But the Lord Jesus deserves our very best and not our leftovers. He gave us his very best. What more could he have given us? What greater thing could he have done for us? And he's looking for a people that will give to them their all. Will give to him their all. And to those that really recognize this, and to those that desire to give him their all, they realize that he has given them much more than they will ever give. Amen. And they will live with him inside that great palace throughout eternity. They will live with him and their inheritance and their position in the heavenly kingdom, it'll be foreshadowed by what they're willing to give him on this side of glory. What we're willing to do for God, what we're willing to give God, is a reflection of what our dwelling place will be like on the other side. You see, he's not going to have to twist any arms. He's not going to have to make threats. He's not going to have to shame people to get what he wants from them. They will give of themselves because they truly desire to do so. They want to give their all to Jesus Christ. There may have been a time when we didn't because we didn't know any better, but they want to give their all to Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of kingdom that I want to be associated with this morning, don't you? I don't want to be around a bunch of disgruntled, oh, church again, oh, this again, oh, that again. Oh, I got to pray. Oh, I got to listen to a tape. Oh, I got to read my Bible. Oh, I got to witness. Oh, I got to be nice to somebody. Oh, I got to turn the other cheek. I don't want that kind of an experience. I don't want to walk in that kind of a kingdom. Aren't you glad that there are people out there that are like that, that want to give to him? Their desire is to give to him what pleases him. Aren't you glad this morning? Friends, we see that there are people that want to give the devil their whole heart. Shouldn't there be some that want to give God their whole heart? Oh, absolutely. I'm counting on it this morning. Exodus chapter 35, verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So they go into their homes. They're going to act upon this right away. They've heard the word. It's moved upon their hearts. Verse 21, and they came. It doesn't say everyone came. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred them up. So those that were stirred in the heart, those that heard this word and something down in the heart said, I say yes, Lord. I want to do that. This is exactly what I want to do. I want to do this. And everyone whom his spirit made willingly, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. So everyone whose soul was stirred up. What God is looking for this morning, friends, comes from within the soul. Not from the brain, not from the flesh, but from the soul. From the control tower that's down on the inside of the inside. The people hear the word of God, and the preacher doesn't have to apply pressure to get the people to do what the word was sent to accomplish. In fact, you're not going to accomplish it. The word is. You're just going to say, that's my desire. That's what my will is, for your will to be done in my life, Lord. So our desire is to see that the word of God is fulfilled in our lives and in the lives of those that his word was sent to. And if the Lord moves on the heart of a minister to preach divine healing, for instance, of course the desire is to see divine healing, or else why did God put it on the minister's heart to preach it? Our desire is to see that it takes place in the lives to them that whom the faith was sent. And we trust that the word preached will accomplish God's purpose of sending it, whether it's at that moment or whether it's sometime later on down the road. Friends, there's many times that you'll hear things. There's many times that things are preached that maybe something in you will say, well, that's kind of odd. I wonder why that was preached. And a month, a year down the road, you find where it perfectly applies to your life. And maybe it was just a little side teaching or a little side comment at the time, but it's exactly what you needed at a certain time that may have been down the road. And we know that, and we trust that some will react one way to the hearing of the word, and we know that others will react in another way. It's just the way that it is. So, it wasn't in this context, in this setting that we're reading here this morning, it wasn't Moses hammering on the people to give to God what he desired. It wasn't him, you know, acting like an auctioneer. Oh, well, who will give me 10? Who will give me, oh, who will give me 15? And it wasn't, you know, offering of, well, you'll get a free pen or You know, but if you're one of our big donors, you know, you'll get a name plaque that everybody will see. When they come into the sanctuary, they'll see your name right over the door because you're one of the gold star givers. And it wasn't the elders that were, or the ministry that was saying to the people, you better do this. Bless God, or I tell you what. And it wasn't the elders trying to get the people to serve the elders or to get the people to do something that they weren't willing to do from the heart. When Brother Branham put altar calls into their right order, remember there was a time that actually there was kind of a time in our own ranks where people were wrongly teaching that Brother Branham was against altar calls. Well, if he was against them, why did he keep doing it? What he was trying to do was put an order to it because it was in disorder. It was out of balance. He wasn't against making an altar call to give the people an opportunity to respond to the word. That wasn't what he was after. What he was bringing correction to was an altar call where people were begged, they were coerced, they were threatened or otherwise gotten after to cause a response that wasn't based on a desire that was down in the soul, but it was a reaction, an emotion. Come down to the altar because you feel sorry for all that Jesus did for you. You know, the least you could do is accept it. Or come down to the altar and give your heart to the Lord, or psh, you're going to be destroyed tomorrow. Whatever it might be. Or grandma wants you to come down, or so on and so forth. God doesn't want church members that gave their heart to the Lord based on emotion alone. I can't see how you won't have some emotion, but the emotion alone is not the issue. Or because they felt bad for all that Jesus went through on their behalf, they thought the least they could do is accept what he did for them. Or because the preacher just scared the liver out of them. Or because they're superstitious, or because of some promise of prosperity that was given to them. Some kind of personal gain, some kind of carnal gain. Or what God wants is the predestinated heart that responds to his predestinated word to give from the free will of their heart. Now notice, this is a supernatural work that was taking place in the body of believers that were following the message that were in this first great Exodus, the message that was given to Moses to give to the people. This is a supernatural work that's taking place. Look at where they are in this particular stage in their journey. God is not just moving in the life of Moses. He most certainly is. He's given signs to Moses. He's dealing with Moses in ways that he's not dealing with the people. And he's not just dealing with the lives of the elders and the ministry and so forth. God is moving among the people of this great Exodus. Each and every one has a part to play. So it's not just God stirring the soul of the prophet Moses, and it's not just God stirring the soul of Aaron or Hur or Joshua or one of the other leaders. The Spirit of God is literally moving among the lay people, and God is asking for them to do something for him. He's giving them the opportunity to give from the heart. Notice, we know that they can't go up on the mountain as Moses did. They can't stand in the presence of the pillar of fire or the cloud as Moses did. It's not their place. They can't receive the word of the Lord by vision because God didn't make them to in such a way that they would have visions. They aren't made up that way to be able to do it. They're not supposed to do that. They can't give to God their eyes to see visions. But there is something that they can give to God, each and every one. And the Spirit of the Lord is moving now upon the rich and upon the poor. It's moving now upon those that can read and those that are illiterate. It's moving now upon those that have fine clothes and those that maybe only have the clothes that are on their back. It's moving now upon those that can play an instrument with skill and upon those that struggle to clap clap their hands to the beat of music. It's moving upon those that can speak with eloquence and upon those that stutter and are so shy that you rarely even hear a word from them. So it's not now just the Lord moving upon the one that can see the visions or the one that was lifted up to see things that no other man has been able to see. It's not now the Lord just moving upon those that are inspired to take what was given, has been given, and feed it to the people, or the ministry, in other words. It's not now just those that can slay an animal for a sacrifice and can offer it to the Lord in the prescribed manner that God requires. It is God moving among the body. It is God moving amongst each and every heart. It is God giving the opportunity for each and every one to have a connection with Him, so that from this point forward in the rest of the journey, it's a personal walk. And they're doing it out of their heart. I'm so thankful, friends, to be living in a time when the Spirit of God doesn't just want to move upon the eyes in this hour, but He won't, or the lips in this hour. But it's a time when the Spirit of the Lord wants to move over the entire body. God desires your heart. God desires your hands. God desires your feet. God desires to move in your life. So it's not just the ministry that's walking behind the veil in this hour and then coming out and saying, God said this and God said that. But each and every member of the body has been called to meet the Shekinah of His presence behind the veil, and to sup with Him and He with them. God desires to reveal. Certainly we know the word comes to the prophet first. And then from the prophet, the ministry takes it and feeds it to the people. But the very same God that's down on the inside of you is the one that interprets it to you. It's the one that reveals it to you. It's the one that sups with you. It's the one that breaks it down for you. It's the one that applies it into your life. So it's a personal thing for each and every one of us. It's not just for some people to, as was said across the pulpit 30-something years ago, pointed directly at me, it was said across the pulpit that some people think everyone is supposed to have a supernatural experience with the Lord, but that's not true, is it, Brother Baker? That's what was preached across the pulpit. Well, if you're a child of God, you're going to have a supernatural experience. Because God is supernatural, and there's no way you can interact with Him and not experience the supernatural of His being. So it's not just the ministry walking behind the veil, but it's the body, the entire body, supping with Him and He with them. It's not just Abraham in this hour that's visited by the covenant angel or the angel of his own covenant. But it's the Spirit of the Lord now moving upon Sarah also and calling Sarah, who represents the bride, to surrender to Him and to give to Him from the heart that is stirred so that she can be a living tabernacle to bring forth Jesus Christ the Word in this hour. God calls certain ones to bring forth the Word in due season. But He doesn't just want their mouths alone. He wants your mouth too. He wants your ears. He wants your lips. He wants your body. And this is the stage of the journey that the children of Israel had now reached. So there's still years and years from going into the promised land. But it's a personal walk, and God wants them to know that it's a personal walk. So something stirred their hearts. What is this something? Now, your heart is not your mind. So the stirring of your heart is not an emotion. In your heart, you either believe or you doubt. There's either faith or there's unbelief. Something stirred their hearts, and those whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits then were willing to bring forth the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle, for all His service, and for the holy garments, their hearts were stirred, and they willingly gave according to the heart. So this is not just an emotion, or an emotional response to what they heard. Nothing wrong with that. We're emotional beings. God didn't say, you know, I want you to be a computer. I know I made you to be an emotional being from the beginning, but, you know, when you give your heart to me, I want you to be like a computer and say, that does not compute, or this does, or highly logical, or highly irregular. God says, I want your heart. That's the control tower. I want the believing part of you. I want the part of you that controls the rest of your being to be surrendered to me. I want the best part of you. And excuse me, friends, but the best part of you is not your mind. And we know certainly that the best part of us is not our physical being either. That's why there's another body waiting for us. That's why there's going to be a body change. Because this one is, you know, subject to death. It's mortal. It's frail. We became subject to vanity not willingly. But your heart is something that's special to God. So this is not just an emotion. I say it's not just an emotion because I want to be sure that people don't take all the emotion out of it. If there is emotion that comes with it, so be it. But there's something causing that that's deeper down on the inside of you. And it's God moving on the soul and then upon the spirit. We know that the soul controls the spirit, and we know that the spirit controls the body. So the word of God moves on the soul, and then the soul begins to speak the language of the word. The word is revealed to you, and the word then moves upon the spirit realm, and the spirit then moves upon the body, causing the body to line up to the word, causing the body to obey the word. It's the spirit of God doing an inward work, and that is supernatural. And every one of the children of Israel that gave from a willing heart experience that supernatural. It's not just the law. It's not just some outward force that is motivating you and moving you into action, but it's God supernaturally moving on the inside of the inside. It's the Spirit of the Lord moving on the inside of the soul. And we try to figure that out with our mind, but it's not something you can figure out. It's something you experience. Now notice, this didn't take place when they crossed the Red Sea. This didn't take place when water came from the rock. This didn't take place in all these other great experiences that they had once they crossed over. And it doesn't take place until after the Lord says, make me a sanctuary out of the free will offerings of the heart. God says, I want something from you, but I want you to be willing to give. And I'm not going to tell you how much to give. I want you to give according to your heart. And friends, how this was described to us, in other words, how David described it to us, this is that deep calling to the deep. God placed something down on the inside of you to respond. And it's a deep call from him. It's something that he sincerely wants. It's something that he sincerely desires, but it's calling from a deep part in you. And that deep part in you says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What can I do? Yes, Lord. So it's truly a deep calling to a deep. And from an inner sanctuary, something is stirred. And from that deep recess of the heart, something begins to respond. The word energizes. The word quickens. The word accomplishes something. The word begins to move in action. The word begins to manifest. Something speaks out and says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to do this. I'm not talking to the pastor. I'm not talking to mom or dad. I'm not talking to the church. I want to do this. Yes, Lord. I don't care if anybody ever knows. This is between you and me. I want to do this, Lord. From the deepest recesses of my soul, I want to do it. And I can't even explain to you how it is that I want to do it. But when you asked, something in my heart said yes. Something in my heart says, to your will, Lord, I say yes. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. Unrestrained, I say yes. Whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. Not because dad or mom is watching, not because the pastor is watching, not because the deacons are watching. We've had some experiences and stories that we've shared with different ones down through the years. I remember one time I went to some meetings in Mexico City, and a great big congregation, and the seating was such that, you know, there's probably 20 to 30 people in each row of seating. And, you know, if you got that many people, it'd be really difficult to go tap somebody on the shoulder that's, you know, 15 people in, right? And I saw the deacons as they're watching over these are special meetings, and the deacons, they got these rods that are, you know, long enough to reach halfway down an aisle. And they're walking around with them, you know, ready to smack somebody in the back of the head that's fallen asleep or whatever it is. God's not looking for that. God, if God wanted a robot, he would have just made robots. If God wanted somebody to just do something because he pushed a button, he'd do that. He wants it to come from a willing heart. He wants a thankful, joyful giver. Somebody that'll say, yes, Lord, I know what I'm doing. I know what you're asking. And yes, it would be my pleasure. Not because I'm between a rock and a hard place. Not because I'm feeling like I'm pressured. Not because, you know, my mind is even telling me, well, that sounds reasonable. That's a reasonable thing to do. But because something just moved on my heart. Something just stirred my heart. And in response, I say, yes, Lord. In response, I say, I want to do this. Now, friends, you can't manufacture this. It's something that comes from the heart. So it doesn't matter if the music's playing or the music isn't playing. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter who's leading worship. It doesn't matter who shook your hand at the door or who didn't shake your hand. I'm doing this, Lord, because something moved upon my heart. Not, I'm doing this, Lord, because it's Sunday and mom and dad, you know, I can feel them staring down on me and they're just waiting to see what I'm going to do, and they've been putting pressure on me. Something just stirred my heart, Lord. Something just moved down on the inside of the inside. And my heart is bursting forth with amen. I'll do it, Lord. So be it. Be it unto me. Yes, Lord. We've heard enough no's. How about a few yeses? And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, for all his service, and for the holy garments. So there's a response to a response that takes place to the supernatural element that's moving on them. God is supernatural, and he's moving on their hearts. Not, well, you know, I'm doing this because Brother Baker said. Well, Brother Baker may have been led of the Lord to say it, but that's not why you do it. Well, I'm doing it because the prophet said so. Well, that sounds real good, but you want to do it because God said so. I'm doing it because the church said so. That's wonderful. That's nice. How accommodating of you. But you want to do it because God said so. When a little child comes to me, as has happened many, many times over the years, and says to me, Brother Baker, I want to get baptized, I always ask him, why do you want to get baptized? And I've had some that have had different adults that have differed with me with that approach over the years, because they say, well, you know, that doesn't matter. A little child doesn't have to explain it. A little child doesn't have all the right words yet to tell you why they're doing it. But I'm not looking for them to reason it with me. I'm not looking for them to explain it to me in precise words. What I'm probing at is to see if something stirred in their heart. When the thought came to them to get baptized, why are you doing it? I want to hear that. Well, you know, I feel that I ought to do this, and I want to do it. Something supernatural. Friends, it isn't just for, oh, okay, well, when the kids get a little more educated, when they get a little older, well, then God will deal with them in a supernatural way. He deals with all of us in a supernatural way. Whether we're real young, whether we're in our midlife, or whether we've lost our mind, or amen? God deals with each and every one of us in the supernatural. So something supernatural moves on the soul. And when I say supernatural, people automatically think, you know, bright lights and carpets rolling out and, you know, chills and this and that. It's so simple. It's so simple. God is so great, but what makes him so great is how simple he can make himself. But it's just something that takes place in the heart. Something just moves over your heart. You may not be able to put words to it, and that's just fine. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for a child to say, well, you know, studying the Greek and, you know, separating the diphthongs and, you know, looking at this word and that word. Or I'm looking for somebody that says, you know what, when I heard that, something in me said, go do that. Something in me said, you need to do that. And I want to do it. Not, well, you know, I heard the preaching and it scared me to death. Well, we know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. But we don't want to do it just, I mean, it's okay to be scared. It's okay to recognize you're going to hell except for the grace of God. But the grace of God is made a way so that you don't have to go to hell. Right? But then you accept that grace out of love. You accept that grace because you realize God has truly given it to you. And he's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give you something and then take it back. You might think that's a racist saying, right? It's racist in the sense that the white man was racist, right? I remember one time a brother who was of East Indian descent, he thought the analogy of an Indian giver was, you know, an Indian will give you something and then they'll take it away from you and they'll, you know, go after the gold in your mouth. That's what he was telling me, you know, how honorary people could be in India. But the saying didn't come from India. It's an English saying. It came from these United States, and it's us promising something to the Native American, and they're taking it back. God's not that way. If he promises you something, you can take it to the bank. It's just as sure as anything. So what we're probing at in those questions, simple questions, and we're not looking for a speech, what we're probing at is to see if something stirred in the heart when the thought came to them to get baptized. Not an emotion, but something. What happened? Why do you want to do this? Because something supernatural moves upon the soul. And the response is, I just have to do this. I want to do this. Not, well, you know, I heard the preaching and it scared me to death. Or it sounded reasonable. Or, you know, somebody asked me if I wanted a scoop of ice cream and I said, sure. I had somebody explain it to me that way one time. My next door neighbor, when I received the new birth, and I was sharing my experience with my next door neighbor. He was a Methodist or Lutheran, nothing against that, but he said, well, you know, God had to do something really, you know, outstanding in your life because you were such a sinner. But I grew up a little different. Mom and Dad just asked me one day, you know, would you want to give your heart to the Lord? And I said, sure. And that's all there was to it, right? Like, you know, would you like a scoop of ice cream? Sure. Okay, chocolate or vanilla? I don't care. No, this isn't 31 flavors. Something supernatural moves upon the soul, and in response, well, I can't explain it. I just feel that I need to do this. I want to do it. That's good enough for me. If someone says, I heard that, and I want to do that, I'm fine with that. There has to be a genuine conviction that strikes the heart. Otherwise, you can't repent. And if you can't repent, then how are you going to receive the Holy Ghost? From the heart, you're saying, I've heard that. I believe it. I'm surrendering. Otherwise, they're going to repeat that again later on when their heart is truly moved into action by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, there'll be no supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit to quicken that seed. And there will be a life that is characterized by trying to live a Christian life by works and intellect alone. Sometimes, I've seen this, mom or dad is fearful for Johnny. I don't think there's any Johnnies here this morning, right? Right? Sometimes mom and dad, or mom or dad, are fearful for Johnny. And so they coax Johnny to ask the pastor to baptize him. And they'll stand right behind Johnny. They'll march Johnny right up to the front. Go on, tell him, go on. Because mom and dad are afraid the rapture is going to happen and Johnny isn't going to make it. Look, friends, God is not going to condemn you if he hasn't moved over your heart. This is entirely the work of the Lord from start to finish. I've had many, on the other hand, I've had many dads come to me and tell me, you know what? My child just keeps asking me if they can get baptized. And I wanted to be sure that they're ready. And Brother Doug, they just wouldn't quit asking. They just keep coming back and keep coming back. What should I tell them? Tell them to come. And we will do it just as soon as we can get some witnesses together to witness it. And friends, that's true no matter what age you are, what your understanding is, what your background is. If something moves on your heart, do it. If the Spirit of the Lord has moved upon your soul in response to the Word, and you say yes, well then come down to the River Jordan and be washed in the waters that represents a newness of life that will come and receive that life. Well, the messenger said I should do this. Well, that's nice. Dad and mom said I should do this. Well, that's also nice. The pastor said I should do this. That's also nice, but what do you say? What does your heart declare this morning? Is your heart saying, I don't want to do this, but they said so, and so I'm going to do it? Well, might as well save it. So that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody trying to talk you into something. When your heart is stirred after the hearing of the word, when you say, you know, I've heard that before. I probably heard that a dozen times. But now all of a sudden there's something down in my heart that's saying, God, I want to do that. I just feel moved to do it. And I won't rest until I do. I want to reflect that in my life, Lord. It's simple, isn't it? And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. They did this. This is a work of the people. This is a body move. This is the body responding to the leading of the Lord. It's the tabernacle of the congregation that's responding. It's his house. It's his bride's house too. We understand that. When it comes to the tabernacle of the congregation, each one has a voice, and one voice only. Right? Now, not everything that's done in the church is voted on. Right? I don't get together and say, okay, who'd like me to preach on heroin this morning, and who'd like me to preach on prosperity, and oh, you don't want me to preach on this particular thing or that? Okay, how many say aye? How many say nay? Okay, the ayes have it or the nays have it. No, that's not how many of the things of the Lord goes. But when it comes to the tabernacle of the congregation, one man, one vote. One person, one vote. Everyone has a say according to the Spirit of the Lord moving upon your heart. And we believe it's one Spirit speaking through the individual members of the body, right? When it comes to the tabernacle of the congregation, it is brought before the people, and each member votes, and the tabernacle is built by the free will offerings of the congregation. And so is it with the mystical tabernacle of the body of Christ also. Each one has a voice. None of us are going to be forced. Nobody can vote for us, and none of us are going to be forced to vote one way or another. Each one of us has a voice. And it's up to each one of us to personally say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. And God, we know he'll come wherever he's invited. There's no no ifs, ands, or buts. But he cannot dwell where he's not truly wanted. And he won't force himself into your heart. He comes by invitation only. And they came, verse 22. And they came, I love this, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets. Young people, God wants your tablet. Oh, surely not my Game Boy. And brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Now, friends, we know that we can't all do the same things in the kingdom of God. But we can all do something. And God has a part for you to play. God has a part for me to play. And God's not looking for all gold and no silver. Or all silver and no gold. He's looking for very particular things in a very particular amount. He doesn't need excess, and he certainly doesn't want any shortages. So notice, they came, both men and women, and they gave according to the willingness of the heart. Don't you love that? That God loves that. That's a happy church. That's a happy body, because everyone's doing it because they want to. No one's saying, me again. I cleaned the church 10 years ago. Why do I have to do it? Now, we know that they weren't all Jews. And we know that all Israel isn't Israel anyhow. So some likely said, you know, we were owed this stuff. And it was given to us. And I don't care how I got it. I'm not giving it to the Lord. I'm keeping it to myself. God knows. God understands. This is back wages. Recall that in the New Testament, there was an Ananias and Sapphira that gave one time. But what they gave was not from a willing heart. They did give some, but they held back some for themselves also. Which, nothing wrong with that. God is not saying you've got to give a certain amount. Or you got to give everything, as we saw. But the issue that they faced was not that they didn't give their all. The issue is they wanted it to appear to be the Holy Ghost in them. They wanted to appear like they were Holy Ghost filled believers, and that they were willing to give all their everything that they had, when in fact they didn't give everything. And in fact, they weren't willing to give everything. So it was the hypocrisy of it. It was the lying of it. It was the wanting to appear one way when they were actually another. So they didn't give their all. And Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? So it's the Spirit of the Lord that moves upon the heart and stirs the heart. And no doubt the Spirit of the Lord moved upon their hearts to give. But they didn't want to give all, and they wanted it to appear that they gave all. So here in our text this morning, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. There's no talk here about, well, you know, Joe didn't come, or Robert didn't come, or Johnny didn't come, or this one or that, or look what this one gave, or look what that one gave. Just says that those that were willing came and they gave. And that was fine. And the church says. But some said, that's my gold. And I'm not giving it up. You'll have to pry my dead cold fingers away from it if you want it. And God said, that's fine. Go ahead and keep it then. But there will be those that are willing. And the church says. Both men and women, and they will give because they're willing to give. And they'll give according to the moving of the Spirit on their heart. And God says, I'll take it. I'm not depriving anybody. I'm not robbing them. I'm not coercing them in any way, shape, or form. Let that not be said among them that I force them to outgive me. I want everyone that is willing. Friends, there will not be anyone in that new city on the other side that says, you know, I wouldn't be here except somebody forced me. I'm here against my will. Guess what? I don't want to be there with somebody that's there against their will. Everyone, as Brother Andy brought that message on the oddball, and that wonderful reminder here a few Sunday nights ago, there'll be a bunch of oddballs over there because they'll all feel the same way, think the same thing, believe the same thing, but they won't be oddballs to one another. And we won't be oddballs to one another here. It's the world that we're oddballs to. The world would shake its head and say, you guys are deceived. You must have drank the Kool-Aid. No way would I do something like that. God wants everyone that is willing. God wants those that want to clap their hands to clap their hands. God wants those that want to stand up to stand up. God wants those that want to shout to say amen, to shout to say amen. He doesn't want the pastor to force people or to shame them into doing those things. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. God wants those that want to stay in the after service to stay. And that's why we tell the worship leaders to dismiss generally after two or three songs and extend the opportunity, especially if the Spirit's moving. If people want to remain, they can remain. But if those that want to leave, they should go. Those that are moved to stay, they should stay. And we shouldn't be keeping track one way or another. Well, what's the right amount of time, Brother Doug, as the Spirit of the Lord moves on your heart? Who cares what somebody else thinks? Who cares what somebody else's measurement is? Let it be from a reaction, from a willing heart that's stirred by the Spirit of God. If somebody wants to sit on their hands during the service, go ahead. If somebody wants to study the preacher or the song leader like he's an insect under a magnifying glass, go ahead. That's just fine. But if the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you and you want to clap your hands, you want to sing praises to Him, you want to say amen when you hear the word and it moves in your heart, well, that's just fine too. We're not all the same. But we want to move according to the dictates of our heart. As for me, I want to worship. And however that might manifest. Worship could be saying amen to the word. Amen means so be it. Brother Brown says saying amen is like saying sick'em to a dog when there's some critter out there that you want to captivate or you want to run off. You say sick'em to the dog and that dog will go right after it. Amen says so be it. Let it be. Verse 22, and they came both men and women and as many as were willing hearted and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering, every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet. So each one of us has some gold to offer to the Lord. Where do we get it? It's gold that's tried in the fire. It's what He gives you. He gives you a victory, but character is what you gain, and character is what God desires. Character is the result of the trials that we go through, but we have to be willing to go through those things. And He gives us that gold as it's tried in the fire, and now we have something to give back to Him. But we don't all have, every man wasn't asked to bring blue, every man wasn't asked to bring purple or scarlet or fine linen. It was every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet. God only needed certain amounts, and God made sure that certain amounts were there. And those that had it, He moved upon their heart to bring it. And goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. And it was the right amount. How many believes that God can run his kingdom just fine? God says, you know, I know that it's among you because I gave it to you. And everyone can't give the same thing. Everyone can't give the same amount. But as you know, we hear that all the time. There's a prayer that goes forth for an offering. Lord, bless those that can give. Bless those that can't but desire to give. Bless those that are going to give in other ways. Right? We can't all give in the same way. And God's not looking for a surplus. You know, it's kind of amazing when you think about it, because the devil actually tried to beat the people to this by moving on them to demand that Aaron take up an offering. When Moses was, you know, gone for 40 days and hadn't come back, they said, we want you to build us an idol. So they took those very same things that God is now asking for, melted it down, and they made an idol out of it. But God didn't give it to them so that they could make an idol out of it. And God turns around and says, Moses, tell Aaron, tell the others, it's time to take up another offering. Not the offering that they took up there, but there's another offering for another purpose. Now, friends, we might have started out in our experience with Christianity by giving so that idols could be made out of what we gave. We know that there are churches that will build tabernacles that are nothing more than idols, that will build programs that are nothing more than idols, or, you know, raise up doctrines that are nothing more than idols. But sooner or later, if you're a child of God, God will ask from you what he requires for his tabernacle. You believe that? Well, when's he going to do that? Friends, you want to respond when he calls. You want to respond when he's moving upon your heart. And your offerings will no longer be put towards the building of idols, but toward the building of living tabernacles to the living God. For houses that are not made with hands. Giving to God what he truly deserves. Giving to God what he gave you to give back. And giving to God what you truly desire to give in response to that deep calling to the deep. Friends, how do you explain that? How do you explain that deep calling to the deep? How do you explain that hunger, that thirst for God, that one day you came in contact with something, and one day you said, yes, Lord, I surrender. Friends, when we give our hearts to the Lord, we're literally giving our hearts to the Lord. We're not just saying out there to the vapor out there, whoever you might be, you know, if you're behind some tree somewhere, I surrender. No, we're taught not to just surrender to anything. I've had ministers, so-called, even tell me, you know what I do? I do, meditation. I get around and I just empty myself out and I just wait to see what comes. You better not do that, because something surely will come. If you empty out, you better be looking for one thing and one thing only. And it better match that word. It better sound to that word. You can surrender to all kinds of spirits. And it can sound real good. Ah, yummy, 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 yummy. What happened? Well, you know, when I was in this meditation, the thought came to me that you should give me all your money. Yummy, 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 yummy. Well, that doesn't match the word. So you received some other kind of a spirit. You emptied out and you received something. But we want to empty out and leave ourselves open only to him. And we want to trust him. We want to trust him that, Lord, if I do surrender, I'll be okay. You're not going to lead me astray. You're not going to ask for something that I can't do. You're not going to take me somewhere that I can't get out of. You're not going to start something and then quit. You're not going to hold on to the steering wheel and then let go of it and as I'm heading for a cliff. If I let go, Lord, I'm in your hands. And I trust you each and every step of the way. Let's stand this morning. Make him a tabernacle of free will offering.
Friends,
you can see it on people's faces when they come to church. You can see when people are coming out of a sense of duty. You can see when people are coming to check a box. Right? We're living in the tree of knowledge of good and evil will be with us until we leave this world. We're going to be influenced. We're going to have to face that. And there's good and there's evil. And we can try and insulate the whole body by saying, we'll just stay away from that tree altogether. Okay, don't drive a car. The Amish tried that. It hasn't worked out too well for them. They still surrender to a certain amount of technology, right? That's why we need the Holy Ghost, right? So we could say this morning, bless God, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want anybody to have a cell phone. I don't want anybody to, if you do have a phone, I don't want it to be able to text or this or that. And if you do, don't bring it in the church because I don't want to see you before the service, looking through there and doing this and that because that wouldn't, right? We're not going to do that. We want you to serve the Lord because you want to serve him. We want you to respond to his word because something in your heart says, yes, I want to do that. We can legislate morality. We can come up with something this thick of do's and don'ts and recite it to you over and over and over again. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. That doesn't mean that you're under the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that you're accepted in his sight. He's already gave us his word. We don't need to add to it. He's already given it to us. But the question this morning is, what say you? What is your response? You've heard the word. The word has gone forth. The word is a searcher of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His spirit is moving over you. His spirit's dealing with things. What is your response to that? What does your heart tell you? What are you going to do in response? Right? From the heart. Not what you've figured out mentally. Well, this would be the reasonable thing. And I think Brother Doug would be really impressed if I did this or that. Or Mom and Dad would be really impressed. You're not here to impress us. Right? You're here to serve the Lord from your heart. From a willing heart. All he wants is you. No one else will do. Not just the part, he wants all of your heart. All he wants is all of you. All he wants is you. Well, I don't have anything to give him. You do. Yourself. Well, that doesn't seem like too much. That's what he wants. Whatever he's given you, he wants you to willingly give in return. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Remember that song, All He Wants Is You? All he wants is you. No one else will do. Might be a little hard. Not just a part. He wants all of your heart. All he wants is all of you. Yes, all he wants is you. Let's sing that verse again. Yes, all he wants is you. No one else will do. Not just a part. Not just a part. He wants all of your heart. All he wants is all of you. Yes, all he wants. Amen. All he wants is me.
All he wants is me.
He deserves whatever he wants. Amen. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. If there's a better key, I'm okay with it. If there's a better key, I'm okay. I can follow. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord, I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord.